Welcome to the Primal Pioneer, a no-nonsense podcast teaching you how to rewild your life and heal your body using nature's medicine kit. I'm your host, Heather Shepherd, classical homeopath, author of The Sunlight RX, and alternative healer. For the past decade, I've been helping people overcome acute and chronic health disorders and brain injuries using a 100% natural approach. Enjoy this episode and subscribe to this podcast to stay informed about your body, your health, and how to lead the healthiest life possible, even amidst our crazy modern world. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, I have a very interesting subject and topic to talk about with you all regarding vitamin D. Preface, most people that I talk to about this topic who are on vitamin D supplements or maybe who's a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor or a health coach, this can be a triggering subject because I'm going to talk about the difference between vitamin D that our body makes when exposed to sunlight versus the vitamin D our body makes in a pill. And I'm also going to talk about the difference, a third one here, of the vitamin D our body utilizes in our diet. So I'm going to tie these three things in together and to help bring you a broader understanding as to vitamin D, what it does, how it works, and what is the difference between vitamin D that we make from sunlight versus vitamin D that we make from a pill. This is a very, very big topic, and I'm going to try to condense it here for you in this episode today. But there are many layers to this. There's a lot of science behind it, and I'm going to try to boil it down for you all here today so that you can gain a deeper understanding about this very, very misunderstood topic. So within the past decade, we've been learning more and more about vitamin D, its importance in our health and disease prevention. There have been many recent studies published showing that the higher one's vitamin D levels are, the lower their chance, their risk is from dying from any disease, literally any chronic disease. The probability of somebody dying from any chronic disease substantially lessens as the higher one's vitamin D stores and levels are. So these findings are really, really driving us to, hey, how do I get more vitamin D? I need vitamin D. My vitamin D is low. And so many people are going to the store, going online, buying vitamin D supplements because of this new information that we're finding out, we're discovering, we're realizing about vitamin D. So I actually want to start with, what is a low vitamin D level? Because most people have low vitamin D levels, and the standards that the Western medical and even many of the alternative medical practitioners, their standards tend to be low. I want to raise the bar here for everyone, not because I'm, a total asshole, but because I see such drastic improvements in my health, in the health of my clients, the higher one's vitamin D levels are. So I also want to mention that, and I'm going to use U.S. measuring units when I discuss this here today. So you are going to have to, if you're listening from overseas, you'll have to translate the units into European units. So a low vitamin D level in my eyes really is anything below 50. Most people have a vitamin D level below 50, okay? And to be accurate and clear here, this is from sunlight, not a pill. And I'll talk about that more in here just a minute. Okay. But I want to start with a low vitamin D level is anything below 50. If we're in the 40s, okay, you are probably going to have some vitamin D deficiency symptoms going on. Maybe chronic fatigue, maybe your sleep is poor a few nights a week, or, you know, 5 days out of the month, you struggle with insomnia. You're going to start to have minor issues creep in, and usually on the chronic level when you get in the 40s. 30s, more, we're going to see more chronic issues. And this could also be reflected as depression. Getting into the 30s, we're talking about depression. We're even talking about infertility. And the more we creep into the 20s or below, this is when we really, really need to be concerned with cancer. Anything below a 20, I've heard a lot of alternative oncologists say they're looking for cancer in the body. And this isn't to alarm you if you have a vitamin D under 20. It's to bring attention to this area that, hey, we really want to work on this. This is a very important area to address. And we really condense vitamin D into just simply vitamin D. But in reality, vitamin D, especially when we make vitamin D from sunlight, it plays many various diverse roles in our body that have so much to do with our energy levels, our immunity, our hormone health, our metabolic health, and our mental health. So when a client comes into my practice and I always say, hey, if you have any recent labs, please send them over. I want to look. Unfortunately, what's happening more now and now is that vitamin D isn't typically included in a just standard lab workup. So often today, you have to ask your GP, hey, I want a lipid panel, and please, I want that to include vitamin D. Because most people will leave it out. They've, because of this popularity with vitamin D, they've increased the cost of the lab. So it's often not added into the blood work. You have to recommend it. You have to ask for it. And sometimes you have to demand it, depending on how open your GP or practitioner is. Okay? So, When a client comes into my practice, the vitamin D that I really want people to strive for is, let's get you as high as you can, and definitely let's aim for over 50. Now, this episode, it might have to be broken up into a couple different episodes, because I will mention, and I'm not sure I'm going to go into detail about this in this episode, but that I have individuals, clients, who have seriously dedicated to the Sunlight RX and still struggle to dramatically improve their vitamin D levels. They'll go up by 10, 20, even 30 points, you know, but they may have come in at a 20 or a 30. That might be their starting point, okay? So there could be issues on a physiological level as to blocks. There could be blocks around actually achieving vitamin D levels that I like to see. So for somebody with lighter skin like myself, Caucasian, if you could get to 80, between 80 and 100, you'll feel like you're 18 again. Unless you're 18, you'll feel, you know, like a teenager, okay? So, and your body's going to reflect that. Your energy levels are going to reflect that. Your symptoms, the way your body expresses symptoms, is going to reflect that. If you get an acute cold fever, you're going to get over it really quickly. And your risk of chronic disease is going to be, you know, practically zero. So, this is my main, my goal for people with lighter skin. And there's a whole measuring system called the Fitzpatrick skin typing. There's a skin typing basic system where you can go in, you can say, hey, what's my skin type? And look at that to detect, hey, where do you fall on the Fitzpatrick scale? I'm a Caucasian, skin, lighter skin. So I like to see between 80 and 100 from sunlight and diet. Okay. So combined, no supplements involved, getting to that level. Now, somebody with darker skin, let's take somebody from, who has darker skin, maybe they're African American. These individuals have darker skin. And as a result, they are not able to achieve as high vitamin D levels from sunlight and diet as somebody with Caucasian skin. And nature designed this for a very, very specific reason. And I'm going to get into that reason as we get into some of the specifics here in the episode. Okay, so just wanted to start there with a baseline, like what do I look for vitamin D levels? What do I strive to get my clients to? What do I strive to get myself to? And how that can vary depending on your skin type. So to give a number here regarding African American, those with darker skin types, then I want to see their vitamin D levels somewhere between 60 and 80. 80 would be remarkable. If we can get in the 60s or 70s, really, really good. Okay. So, keep that in mind, because many people go to their doctor, their GP, they get lab work, they get their vitamin D levels back, it comes back, and they say, oh, I'm in the 30s, oh, I'm in the 40s. Again, USD measurement system here. And they're like, great, it's not low. That's a low vitamin D level. That's a low vitamin D level. Okay. So, let's talk about now how nature designed us to make vitamin D or utilize vitamin D. And there's two main ways. Number one is through sunlight, specifically UVB light. You cannot make vitamin D in any other light. You have to be in UVB light in order to make vitamin D. So you can't go out at sunrise or sunset and say, hey, I'm out here making my vitamin D. I hear a lot of people say that, and unfortunately, that's not accurate. UVB light has to be present in the sky in order for you to be able to make vitamin D from sunlight. Okay? And if you're wondering, hey, how do I know if UVB light is available? Hang tight. I will share that as we get into some of the specifics. The other way nature designed us to make vitamin D is through diet. And not so much make vitamin D, but have a vitamin D source, right? Because if we get vitamin D in the diet, our body doesn't have to make it. It's already been made. We're just getting it through the diet. Okay? So, I didn't list a supplement there because nature didn't design us to use vitamin D in supplement form. Let's talk about sunlight and diet. So as I mentioned, your body is designed to make vitamin D when you interact with UVB light, specifically right around 312 nanometer light. That's UVB light. And it has to be combined with cholesterol. You need LDL cholesterol. There needs to be cholesterol sulfate lined on the skin. So that means there can't be any lotions involved. There can't be sunscreens, lotions, these things that we tend to apply on our skin, these really highly scented soaps. When these things are on the skin, it actually depletes our cholesterol stores, which blocks our body's ability to make vitamin D. Vitamin D production from sunlight starts in two ways. One is in the eyes, and number two is in the skin. So, I told you there might need to be some follow-up episodes here because this stuff gets deep. And this isn't the stuff we're told. We're not told this in order to find out and discover this information. You have to get outside the allopathic studies and science because it doesn't look at these deeper issues. Most of the allopathic world doesn't either. You really have to dig deeper. Putting that aside, I also love to refer to the biggest, most effective, most accurate scientific study of all time, which is our ancient ancestors before grocery stores, sunscreen, imported foods, vaccines, antibiotics, etc. That is like, if you want the ultimate science study, it's right there. It's right there for us. It's right there. And these individuals, they never took vitamin D supplements. Many of them lived in areas that didn't have UVB light in certain times of year, and they didn't get chronic disease, they didn't get diabetes, they didn't have psoriasis or autoimmune flares that got worse in the winter time. Their depression didn't get worse in the winter time. They were able to make it through even the darker months without having the vitamin D, quote unquote, side effects that we have today. So, in order for you to make vitamin D from sunlight, you need to have UVB light. That combination, you need LDL cholesterol and you need cholesterol sulfate, which your skin is lined with. Okay? Sans any lotion, sunscreen, and really highly scented soaps. Okay? So, this is really interesting, and it's something that, I did an episode a while back. I think a while back. It could have been a year ago. I'm not sure, but it's further back in the queue if you're, inspired by this episode and want to learn more about this subject. But I talk about sunglasses and the detriment that sunglasses have on our health. We wouldn't think about this. We're like, oh, we're protecting our eyes because our ophthalmologists and other eye care professionals say, hey, protect your eyes, wear sunglasses, prevent macular degeneration, which is just a load of BS. Because here we go. Let's refer to the greatest science experiment of all time. Our ancient ancestors did not wear sunglasses. I'm not going to go into full detail about this, but I am going to mention that there have been many studies where people and animals have been exposed to UVB light. However, the eyes were darkened by either a cloth or like a sleeping mask was put around their eyes or sunglasses. And even though their skin was exposed to UVB light, they didn't make vitamin D. Very, very interesting. And there are our main metabolic and hormone signaling systems, the whole, what should I say, the foundation of that, the hub of that, the core is located in the brain. And so this is why this happens. If we cover our eyes with anything, we go to the beach, we put on our sunglasses, but our skin's exposed, or we go to the beach and we put a towel over our eyes because it's too bright. This is going to interfere with our body's ability to produce vitamin D. So we need our eyes exposed. Of course, we're not going to look directly at UVB light. That's exactly not what I'm saying, but we want the eyes at least uncovered and exposed, okay? As well as the skin. This is going to set our body up to make vitamin D from sunlight. Now, when it comes to diet, vitamin D is only contained in animal fat. Okay? And this is why it's been referred to as a fat-soluble vitamin, because it's found in animal fat. And this version of vitamin D is fat soluble. The vitamin D we take in a pill, the vitamin D we get from animal sources in the diet, these are fat soluble sources of vitamin D. Sunlight is very unique. The vitamin D we make from sunlight is actually both fat soluble and water soluble, and I'll get to that here in just a second. So, in order for us to actually get vitamin D from our diet, we need to be eating animal fats. Okay, fatty fish, butter, tallows, lard, bacon fat. I'm trying to think of the name. Why did it slip my mind? Caviar, sardines, fish eggs. These things are very, very rich sources of dietary vitamin D. Okay? Supplemental vitamin D is also fat soluble as well. Okay? So let's talk about now the difference, however, in these two really sources of vitamin D, meaning sulfated versus non-sulfated or unsulfated vitamin D. So sulfated vitamin D, this is what happens when we make vitamin D from sunlight. That UVB light interacts with our skin with that cholesterol sulfate, okay? When it does this, there are very, very ingenious ways that nature designed us to make vitamin D in this way, in this sulfated way, because it allows vitamin D to be transported through the bloodstream in a both fat-soluble and water-soluble way. Remember, in our diet and in the supplement, it is not sulfated vitamin D. And why is this important? What's the big difference? When our vitamin D is sulfated, it does many, many things. So basically, you have UVB light hits your skin, it interacts with cholesterol sulfate, interacts with LDL cholesterol, it goes through your bloodstream, and now it sulfates every single molecule in its path. Okay? Who cares? What's the big deal here? Well, there's a lot of big deals. So, first of all, our proteins need to be sulfated. Anybody with SNPs, anybody with MTHFR issues, your proteins are not sulfated. NDs, functional medicine doctors, they want to give just like shopping bag fulls of supplements, of super expensive supplements to help rectify the issue. They want to tell you to avoid certain foods, but this isn't getting to the heart of the issue, at least not part of the heart of the issue, which is that your proteins are not sulfated. So when we make vitamin D in this way, and this is why I mentioned vitamin D is much more than vitamin D. It has so many roles in our body. And it becomes super diverse when we sulfate it through sunlight. So it goes through our bloodstream. It's clearing everything. It's sulfating everything in its path. Every molecule in its path. And by doing so, it's performing these jobs and tasks that are very necessary for our health. It's clearing arterial plaque. It's helping to boost our immunity. It's helping to boost our detox pathways. It's sulfating all of the proteins along the way. It's helping to protect against depression by doing so. And it's helping to improve mood just by sulfating everything along its path. Okay? So, another huge role that sulfated vitamin D has and provides us with is that it quite literally recharges our battery. Our cells, our mitochondria, our body's battery becomes recharged. Because, think about this. Think about a battery, okay? And what's one thing we can do to increase the electric charge of that battery? One obvious way is that what if you pour water on a battery, you know, sparks fly, it steams, it heats up, it produces more energy, right? That's why we don't want to throw a radio into the bathtub. It's just going to create this massive electrical charge. When our vitamin D is sulfated, it's fat soluble and it's water soluble. And by having water soluble properties, it's going to make our cells more energy efficient. It's going to provide more charge to our cells. Each one of our cells is surrounded by water. It's called easy water. I'm not going to get into this because some people are listening. They're, you know, you might not be into science and wanting to learn this. If you do, you can join the Holistic Health Coach Certification Program where I go into the nuts and bolts of all this stuff. But for just your general understanding purposes, it's important to know that each one of our cells contains water around it, and this water is highly charged. At least we want it to be highly charged. The more charged that water is surrounding your cells, the more energy efficient you're going to be, the longer you're going to live, the more energy you're going to have, the better you're going to sleep, the stronger your immune system is going to be, the better your memory is going to be, okay? So this is a huge benefit of vitamin D from sunlight, is that it helps to increase and improve literally our energy production capabilities. It's going to give us more energy. We're going to be more energy efficient, and our cells are going to be more hydrated. Here's the thing. When you take vitamin D from a pill, what people don't understand is that in order to reap the benefits of vitamin D, you need to be hydrated. And I'm not even necessarily talking about drinking more water. Typically, vitamin D and having your cells be more hydrated doesn't really come from drinking more water. It's very minimal. And we've been taught this, you know, drink a lot of water, make sure you're hydrated. Making sure you're hydrated goes far beyond drinking more water. Making sure you're hydrated means making sure that water surrounding your cells is hydrated and charged. And you don't do that by drinking more water. You do that by improving your vitamin D stores from sunlight. When you do so, that water surrounding your cell is going to grow. It's going to have a much higher charge to it. And the higher charge around your cells, the healthier you're going to be. In very, very simple terms, you're going to be much healthier. You're going to have more energy. When you take vitamin D in a pill, and even when you get vitamin D through the animal fat sources in your diet, you're not going to get this side effect. Okay, this side effect comes from vitamin D that's sulfated because it adds in the water soluble property, which is able to add electrical charge to your cells. Big, big difference here. Okay, dehydrated cells cannot make vitamin D. Okay, so this is one reason why, let's say, people who go out in sunlight and their skin darkens, right, which can be a sign that vitamin D stores are improving. However, let's say somebody's aren't improving, they're getting their tan is better, right, their skin is darkening, can be a sign, this should be a reflection, hey, my vitamin D stores are boosting. But here's the thing, if we're in an environment that dehydrates us, that's going to offset our body's ability to produce vitamin D, because it dehydrates the cells and it shrinks the water around the cells. I want to try to be as clear and not confusing as possible. So, which is often challenging for me because there's so many thoughts in my head and things I want to share with you all. So let me slow this down and see if I can clear that up. When you're in an environment that is dehydrating, you shrink the water around your cells. And so if that environment, that dehydrating environment is so strong, it can be so strong that it overpowers the vitamin D that you're getting from sunlight that's supposed to add that water, build that water charge around your cells. What environment is this? Modern day humans have this issue because we're surrounded by non-native EMF. Non-native means it's not coming from a natural source, it's man-made. We're getting things like Wi-Fi, we're getting EMFs from our cell phones, we're getting things from Bluetooth, we're getting EMFs from Alexa, we're getting EMFs from Siri, we're getting EMFs from all of those things. We're getting EMFs when we upgrade our technology. We're getting EMFs from Wi-Fi. This is the number one way our cells get dehydrated. So if we don't simultaneously change our EMF environment, then while we're improving our sunlight environment, it's almost like they're going to cancel each other out. And this is when the frustration can come. People go and they recheck their vitamin D stores and like, oh my gosh, Heather, I've been doing the Sunlight RX. My vitamin D's only gone up 5 points. It's only went up 10 points this summer, right? And then I say, we have to have a talk. We have to look at your hydration and not by water. I don't mean hydration by water, because most people who have this issue drink a lot of water. And we have to understand that this isn't a water drinking issue. It's that the environment that we're in somehow is offsetting our body's ability to make vitamin D from sunlight, because the environment we're in is dehydrating us. Okay, so that's a huge thing to keep in mind. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, well, I've done all these things, I've improved my sunlight environment, my vitamin D is still low, next thing I want you to check is your EMF environment, because we cannot make vitamin D, we cannot improve our stores if our cells are dehydrated. Very, very important to know. So sunlight, making vitamin D from sunlight, gives our body the ability, the potential to improve our vitamin D stores, improve our energy production capabilities when we're simultaneously in a low EMF environment. And I will also say, hey, modern day, we have to be around EMF sometimes. It's literally virtually impossible today. It is. But we have to know how to offset our use. When we're exposed to EMFs, non-native EMFs, we need to learn how to then offset any dehydrating issues that may have occurred from that exposure. And this needs to become a daily practice, not like, oh, every month I will, take a bath, a salt bath. You know, this, we have to get into routines and practices that help offset, an offset in a way that correlates with our exposure. So if our exposure is high, we need to really spend a lot of time offsetting if we want to improve our vitamin D stores and improve our energy production capabilities. I told you this conversation was really deep. You know, a lot of people say, hey, tell me what to do. You know, I want to know what to do, which, you know, absolutely is possible. But the reason why people fight this topic is like, oh, I'm just going to take a supplement, I can't get outside. There's so much depth to this topic and understanding the difference between the two, the importance between sulfated D, unsulfated D, is very, very important to really understanding why we can't just rely on a vitamin D supplement. Let's get into that more. Let's talk about some other issues I have with a supplement. Like, forget that it's not sulfated. There's other issues I have with this. First of all, nature designed us to make vitamin D endogenously, so we should be able to make vitamin D from the environment we live in, right? From sunlight. And we should be able to also make it from the food that we're eating. We shouldn't have to extract it from some source and then put it into pill form or liquid form or bottle form or supplement form and then take it. That's very unnatural. When we start to do things in that way that our body is designed to make on its own, we actually restrict and compromise our body's ability to make it on its own when it actually is in a natural environment. So somebody taking boatloads of vitamin D supplementation, which I see all the time, it's so common. It's very common because people prescribe high doses, people take high doses because we're taught more of this is better. But more of it from a pill is not actually better. It's actually dangerous and can produce symptoms. I had one client once who came to me and said, I'm taking high doses of vitamin D prescribed by my naturopath. And ever since then, I've been nauseous. I haven't had an appetite. I've been having diarrhea. And I said, whoa, these are side effects of excess vitamin D. Your body doesn't actually even know what to do with it. It can't use all of that. And the symptoms went away as soon as they stopped the supplemental vitamin D. But what I have issues with supplemental D for a variety of reasons. One, it's unsulfated, right? So it's not water soluble, meaning what happens with vitamin D that's not water soluble is it can't produce all of those diverse, basically house cleaning and immune boosting tasks that sulfated vitamin D can provide us with, right? The plaque clearing, the immune boosting, the immune cell protection, the detox pathways, really supporting those pathways and our detox capabilities and sulfating all of our proteins. Vitamin D in a pill can't do this. It's fat soluble, not water soluble. So it doesn't carry all the benefits of sunlight, right? But it actually does do one thing. One main thing that it does do is that it transports calcium. A lot of people today have calcium transport issues. Osteoporosis, osteopenia, bone density issues, parathyroid issues, okay? So supplemental vitamin D can have a positive impact on how calcium is transported through the body. Again, I am going to mention that this is highly dependent on your EMF environment, because if you live in a strong EMF environment, it's going to cause calcium transport issues big time. This is why I sense we've seen such an explosion in parathyroid issues today, which is really a defect in the way our body can utilize, transport calcium, okay? So this is also why vitamin D is shown to support bone health because it aids in the transport of calcium. Now, I'm going to mention that sulfated vitamin D from sunlight also has this benefit. It also helps with calcium transport. So I will mention that. But this is one, if somebody's like, hey, well, is there a benefit of taking vitamin D if you have a decent vitamin D supplement and you take it in, you know, on the lower end because you can overdose really easily with vitamin D, it can have the ability to support calcium transport issues, anything to do with the bones, parathyroid, etc. However, there's an issue that I have with supplemental vitamin D. This comes from a fat-soluble source. One, I am a big fan, a big proponent of, let's get as close to nature as we can. And many people, oh, we're modern day, you know, let's be real. You know, this is the modern day. We can't be always supernatural. You can get vitamin D naturally from sunlight today and from animal fats. One issue I have with vitamin D in pill form is that I don't trust that fat and that sitting in that bottle for God knows how long isn't rancid, I should say. I suspect that it has, from the processing it's gone through, from sitting on the shelf, from being exposed to LED lights sitting in the factory or the grocery shelf, I cannot imagine that that thing is not rancid. So that's a whole other issue that I have, that I don't trust that that pill isn't rancid. And when we eat rancid fats, what happens? Well, it can cause oxidation in the body, oxidation in the plaque, oxidation in the brain. It's not a really good thing. So that's another issue that isn't really talked about that I have with vitamin D supplementation. It has to go through this processing in order to get into a liquid form in that bottle. So that's another main issue that I have. Another issue that I have with supplemental vitamin D is it doesn't allow for lifestyle shifts. What does this mean? It means like, hey, you go to the doctor, you get your labs drawn, you comes back, your vitamin D is 24, and your doc says, well, let's try a vitamin D supplementation. You can continue with your same old lifestyle, whether that's sitting in front of a screen or talking on your cell phone or doing Zoom calls all day or, you know, being in this strong EMF indoor environment. It doesn't encourage you to make lifestyle shifts that are going to help get to the root of your low vitamin D level in the first place. So that's another issue I have, is that people think they can just keep living an indoor, screen-based, tech-dominant lifestyle, and as long as they're taking vitamin D in a pill, no worries, I'm doing my part, I'm doing it, you know, I'm working to improve my vitamin D levels. That's not actually true. Okay, let's see. Another issue I have with vitamin D in pill form is that vitamin D requires LDL for it to be transported in the body. You might find this hard to believe, especially if you're just new to listening to the podcast or following me, but most people today have low LDL cholesterol levels, not high. So, our standard, our medical standard for LDL cholesterol is very dangerous. It's dangerously low. You can look at studies out there, even the studies say LDL cholesterol levels below 200. Again, this is US measurements. anything below 200, your cancer risk is going to go up. Okay. It also means your body isn't able to make steroid hormones very well. So, if we're taking vitamin D from a pill, however, our cholesterol, our LDL cholesterol is low. It's below, the lower it gets below 200, the less able your body is going to be able to transport that vitamin D through your body and actually put it into usable form. That is very, very important. Very, very important. I cannot emphasize how damaging not just our allopathic doctors are, but many of our alternative medical practitioners are with regard to LDL cholesterol requirements. I'm going to use my mom as an example. I don't think she'll mind if I out her here on the episode. My mom has seen many, many holistic naturopathic doctors over the years, because to them, she doesn't like to go to regular doctors. She doesn't resonate with them. It's not her thing. And I often encourage her, said, hey mom, go to your naturopath to basically do lab work, right? Let's keep an eye on, let's have them run lab work for you. And you don't like to go into the doctor's office. So let's go into a different environment, And she's, yeah, I'm on board with that. Okay. So she goes and she does her lab work a couple times a year. And always, always her LDL cholesterol is somewhere between 200 and 220. And they're like, whoa, that's really bad. We're going to now run heart tests. We've got to put you on a low cholesterol diet. We've got to get you on low cholesterol lowering supplements. This is a whole other podcast, but I need to mention this because it's so, so scarring to people. They put them on red yeast rice. They put them on CoQ10. These things are not healthy things for the cholesterol. It's not a good idea. It's really, really damaging. It's not getting to the root of the issue. And it's actually not even a concerning LDL level. LDL around 200, even above 200, this is not a bad thing, especially if you have an LDL in that range, your risk of cancer is very low. Now, let's say your LDL is high, according to medical standards, right? That would be through the roof for them. 200, oh my gosh, through the roof, right? They don't understand how LDL cholesterol transports vitamin D and is needed to make hormones and every steroid hormone, and it's used to detox and pull pathogens and toxins and heavy metals from our body. And without that, our body wouldn't be able to clean house, okay? Or make hormones or be metabolically efficient. So, if you're listening to this and when I'm explaining here that supplemental vitamin D requires LDL for transport, and the lower your LDL levels are, the more inefficient you're going to be able to actually utilize vitamin D from a pill, I really want you to understand that our standards for LDL are far too low, and they're too low because of the statin drug industry, because they make billions of dollars off of people by setting that bar of LDL cholesterol to be super low, so low that it's dangerous, dangerous to health, cancer causing. And if you're concerned about, oh, well, what about LDL cholesterol and heart health? We can't just look at LDL cholesterol when it comes to heart health. We have to look at other factors, constitution, lifestyle, health history. We also need to look at other lab values. What's your glucose? What's your HbA1c? What's your hsCRP? Are those okay? Are those pretty good? And you have a high cholesterol? No worries, no issues. If those other things are high and your cholesterol is high, that tells me that your body is producing more cholesterol to try to remove this inflammation caused by the blood sugar imbalances. And so by fixing the blood sugar imbalances, LDL cholesterol will be fine. So I just want to mention that, because in order for your body to use vitamin D, you need LDL cholesterol. This is nature. Again, here's ingenious nature, right? Animal fats. You get vitamin D from animal fats. What do you also get from animal fats? Cholesterol. You cannot separate the two. You cannot say that this is high in cholesterol, this has cholesterol and this has vitamin D. No, animal fats contain both. They can contain cholesterol and vitamin D. Your vitamin D supplement contains vitamin D, no cholesterol. You need LDL cholesterol. You need cholesterol to transport the vitamin D. Ingenious nature, as always, put it in our animal foods. Okay, which brings me to the last thing I want to discuss here about vitamin D, and we're going to need another episode on this, but when we take vitamin D in a supplement form, it doesn't allow for dietary changes. So if we get vitamin D in a pill, then we don't have to worry about, you know, adding in vitamin D sources into our diet. You know, the animal fats, the fatty fish, etc. So this allows for somebody eating processed and packaged foods, somebody who's vegan or vegetarian, to just think they can get their nutritional and nutrient vitamin D needs met in a pill. But hopefully by this time, 49 minutes into the episode, you understand why that's actually not a good idea. So, I'm going to try in the next few minutes to describe why, what to do in the winter months when vitamin D goes away. First of all, I'm going to mention that you can download an app called D-Minder, D as in dog. Download the app. It's free. You put in your zip code. It says the UV index in your area. You'll pull it up. You'll see in the right-hand corner the UV index in your area. As summer, as we go into summer, that UV index climbs. It can go, you know, 8, 10, 12. If you're really on the equator, 15, 16, etc. As you get closer to winter, that's going to fall, okay? You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. When you dip below 5, you're not able to make vitamin D anymore. And the closer you get to 5, the less vitamin D you're going to be able to make from sunlight. So for example, if the UV index is a 10, you're going to be able to pump out much more vitamin D from sunlight than if the UV index is a 6, okay? You can still pump some out at a 6. It's just not going to be as much. So what happens is our ancient ancestors who lived in these low light areas in the winter, they didn't have the ability to make vitamin D from sunlight. But what they did is they built their vitamin D stores in the spring, in the summer, in the early fall. And how does your body build these stores? You get tan. You get more freckles. Freckles are literally like these UV storage tanks. Because what happens when light, sunlight goes away as we get into winter is the freckles start to go away. That's your body absorbing every ounce of UVB light your body has stored throughout those strong sunlight months. Okay? So we want to build a surplus in those months, spring, summer, fall, and then our body will start to absorb and call upon and pull upon those stores throughout the winter. Now you'll get to a point where, unless you go to the tropics or somewhere with UVB light in the winter, you'll get to a point where you've pulled on those stores. We have to then really be cognizant of our diet when we get to that point. We have to be very cognizant to add in more vitamin D rich foods during those months to help get us through to the spring. Okay? And even if you live in Alaska, because many parts of Alaska, what happens? They get this like 24/7 summertime where the sun is out literally 24/7. Why did nature do that? So they could build their stores, their vitamin D stores, to last them through the god-awful winters that those individuals have to go through. What is also available at that latitude and in those areas? Fatty fish. The more northerly you get, the fattier the fish are in the oceans. In the streams, I should say, as well. We're talking about salmon, right? Swims upstream. Why is this? The more northerly you get, the fattier the fish you get. You get seal. You have seal blubber. You have fatty salmon. What is a huge part of the culture, and I'm referring mostly to Alaska here because this is one of our most extreme examples of cold, harsh, dark winters, is the fish are fattier up there. The fattier the fish, the higher the vitamin D level. This is absolutely ingenious. The people in that area for as long as, you know, we've been in existence here on this planet, what, 3.5 billion years ago, and when Alaska came into the world, what happens when it started to get cold? The fatty fish live in those areas in order to support those people. We have seal blubber. and we have fatty fish like salmon. Why? So these individuals could survive the long, harsh, dark, cold winter months with a nourishing source of vitamin D that they could call on. So really, we have to, when we get into these months, and I'm going to have to do another episode specifically on what do we do in the winter time when sunlight goes away. That'll be the next episode next week. But just to give you maybe a little dose of what's going to come in that episode, this will be one thing I'll talk about more. But the more northerly you get, the colder the water. The colder the water, the fattier the fish, the higher the vitamin D. People living in the tropics, they don't need fatty fish. They don't need all that fatty fish because UVB light is present literally 365 days a year. They can make vitamin D from sunlight. And I didn't get to talk about today how skin typing and the Fitzpatrick skin has to do with our energy production needs and our dietary and our sunlight needs. I didn't get into too much detail there. And I will do that in the next episode, and I'll tie that in with how we make vitamin D, or how we survive cold, dark winter months when vitamin D light isn't available. So I hope this episode was insightful, inspiring, illuminating. It's likely a very different song than you've heard from maybe the allopathic world or the alternative medicine world. And if you have questions, of course, email me anytime. I love your feedback. Send me a DM, sunlight_rx. You can send me a message on Facebook, heather.r.shepherd, or email me heather.shepherd@gmail.com. And Google loves to auto-correct my name, so that's spelled H-E-A-T-H-A-R. Last name Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D. Have an awesome rest of your day, everyone, and I'll see you next week. If you're interested in working with me to bring your immune system out of a suppressive state and to improve your level of health, there's two ways to do so. Number one, to become a client, go to heathershepherd.com and book a homeopathic session or an ancestral diet program with me. Once you sign up, I'll email you to schedule our initial session and to help you get started. If you have questions before signing up, I always welcome you to email me at heather.shepherd@gmail.com to ask your questions. Number two, to learn from me, you can join me this 2022 for the Holistic Health Coach Certification Program. This is a program rooted in cutting-edge mitochondrial science and ancient healing modalities, teaching you how to be the most effective health coach for your clients. Application for the program is open now through November 25th. To join the program, go to holistichealthcoachcertification.com.